The Moviegoer by Walker Percy, page 50. We take up our promenade. My aunt steps carefully, lining up her toe with the edge of the boards. She presses a finger against her lip, but it is not possible to tell whether she is smiling or grimacing. I had a brainstorm last night. It still looked reasonably good this morning. How does this strike you? What? My neck prickles like a bull terrier. Last week at Great Books, I had a chat with old Dr. Miner. I didn't bring your name up, he did. He asked me what you were doing with yourself. When I told him, he said it was a shame because, and there was no reason for him to say this if it weren't true, you have a keen mind and a natural scientific curiosity. I know what she is going to say. My aunt is convinced I have a flair for research. This is not true. If I had a flair for research, I would be doing research. Actually, I'm not very smart. My grades were average. My mother and my aunt think I am smart because I am quiet and absent-minded, and because my father and grandfather were smart. They think I was meant to do research because I am not fit to do anything else. I am a genius whom ordinary professions can't satisfy. I tried research one summer. I got interested in the role of the acid-base balance in the formation of renal calculi. Really, it's quite an interesting problem. I had a hunch you might get pigs to form oxalate stones by manipulating the pH of the blood, and maybe even to dissolve them. A friend of mine, a boy from Pittsburgh named Harry Stern, and I read up the literature and presented the problem to Miner. He was enthusiastic, gave us everything we wanted, and turned us loose for the summer. But then a peculiar thing happened. I became extraordinarily affected by the summer afternoons in the laboratory. The August sunlight came streaming in the great dusty fan lights and lay in yellow bars across the room. The old building ticked and creaked in the heat. Outside, we could hear cries of summer students playing touch football. In the course of an afternoon, the yellow sunlight moved across old group pictures of the biology faculty. I became bewitched by the presence of the building. For minutes at a stretch, I sat on the floor and watched the motes rise and fall in the sunlight. I called Harry's attention to the presence, but he shrugged and went on with his work. He was absolutely unaffected by the singularities of time and place. His abode was anywhere. It was all the same to him whether he catheterized a pig at 4 o'clock in the afternoon in New Orleans or at midnight in Transylvania. He was actually like one of those scientists in the movies who don't care about anything but the problem in their heads. Now here is a fellow who does have a flair for research and will be heard from. Yet I do not envy him. I would not change places with him if he discovered the cause and cure of cancer, for he is no more aware of the mystery which surrounds him than a fish is aware of the water it swims in. He could do research for 1,000 years and never have an inkling of it. By the middle of August, I could not see what difference it made, whether the pigs got kidney stones or not. They didn't, incidentally, compared to the mystery of those summer afternoons. I asked Harry if he would excuse me. He was glad enough to, since I was not much use to him sitting on the floor. I moved down to the quarter, where I spent the rest of the vacation in quest of the spirit of summer and in the company of an attractive and confused girl from Bennington who fancied herself a poet. But I am mistaken. My aunt is not suggesting that I go into research. I want you to think about entering medical school this fall. You know, you've always had it in the back of your mind. Now I've fixed up your old garçonnière in the carriage house. Wait till you see it. I've added a kitchenette and some bookshelves. You will have absolute privacy. We won't even allow you in the house. No, it is not I doing something for you. We could use you around. Kate is going through something I don't understand. Jules, my dear Jules, won't even admit anything is wrong. You and Sam are the only ones she'd ever listen to. We come to the corner of the gallery, and a warm spray blows in our faces. One can smell the islands to the south. The rain slackens, and tires hiss on the wet asphalt. Here's what we'll do. As soon as hot weather comes, we'll all go to Flat Rock, the whole family, Walter included. He's already promised. We'll have a nice long summer in the mountains and come back here in September and buckle down to work. Two cars come racing abreast down Britannia. Someone shouts an obscenity in a wretched, croaking voice. Our footsteps echo like pistol shots in the basement below. I don't know. You think about it. Yes, ma'am. She does not smile. Instead, she stops me, holds me off. What is it you want out of life, son? She asks with a sweetness that makes me uneasy. I don't know, but I'll move in whenever you want me. Don't you feel obliged to use your brain and make a contribution? No.